Welcome to Maquonago Baptist Church. We're glad to have each one of you here this evening. Worship the Lord in His house and sing together, just edify one another. Continue your hymnals to number 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, Greater Than All My Sin. Aren't you thankful for the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ? Let's all stand together as we sing this first opening song this evening, Wonderful Grace. Singing this evening, and as we sing out on that third wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled by its transforming power, making me God's dear child. And praise the Lord for His grace that we, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been made the child of God. Amen. Let's sing it on that third verse.
Grace. Amen. Amen. All right, Tyler, lead us in prayer, please.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the wonderful grace that saves us and, Lord, gives us power to live in victory every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that every person here tonight would know that grace and in everyday lives. And, Lord, we pray your hand upon the preaching of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You
you can turn with me to number 493, Since the Savior Found Me, Pardoned All My Sin. Number 493, and as we learn this morning, true joy comes from the Lord. You know, people can be happy in life, but happiness can be fleeting, but true joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to be happy because Jesus Christ has given his life for ours, and he has saved us. He has rescued us, and we ought to be truly joyful in the Lord. Since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sin. Singing this evening. Number 492, right across the page. Jesus loves even me.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4 tonight. As I was kind of looking at what to preach on tonight, in one way I was really hesitating on preaching this message just because I knew how much work I needed in my own life in this area. And I had to really confess to the Lord my own sin in this area. We're going to preach a message tonight that I think affects many of us and really can affects all of us. And I'm going to be speaking on the subject of boldness tonight. And I'd like us to begin reading tonight in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8. It says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which is healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now, if your mind's wandering because it's a long passage of Scripture, get your mind back. We're on verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I looked up the word boldness in this passage of Scripture, as I was looking at the Greek lexicon or dictionary, and I believe it was the word there in verse 13. And this is what it's one of the definitions it gave. Boldness, a use of speech that conceals nothing and passes over nothing. Outspokenness, frankness, plainness. But it was a use of speech that conceals nothing. It's openness. And we're going to look at a verse later on in the passage where it talks about Christ speaking openly. The first thing I find here, if you want boldness in your life, and we're going to look at, there's some maybe negative things that take away boldness, but we're going to focus more on the positive things tonight. But we're going to see the first thing really that can enable us, the first truth that we can look at tonight that will enable us to have boldness is number one, a relationship. A relationship, spending time with Christ. Notice what it says in verse number 13. We read the verse, but let's look at it again. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So here are Peter and John. And you might say tonight, well, I just don't have the natural ability to be bold. You know, some people have that personality where they speak out, where they're able to speak, where they just seem like it's so easy for them to say something. Well, you think of Peter. Now, Peter does have a way of sometimes in the Bible seeming just to come out and blurt something out and say something. All right, but as we look at Peter in the flesh, we find that boldness was not necessarily something that just came naturally for him. All right, if you look at when Peter denied Christ, what happened? Well, he became overcome by the fear of man. I mean, here's a maid, and he was afraid to tell the maid that he was one of Jesus' disciples. So it wasn't just necessarily something natural for Peter to be bold. But we find that one of the things that changed Peter's life was the fact that he had been with Jesus. And these people recognized that, you know what, something is different about these men. And what they are doing is characteristic of someone else that we saw here on this earth. Amen. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like us just to briefly go to John chapter 18. It was the verse I just alluded to just a little bit ago. John chapter 18 and verse number 20, as Jesus testifies of how he related himself to those around him. And we'll begin in verse number 19, but verses 19 we'll read 19 through 21. This is the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly." All right, that's for boldness there. "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resorted, and in secret have I said nothing." Jesus didn't conceal what he was trying to proclaim. Now we do, the Bible does talk about him speaking in parables. But verse 21, "Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." So here we find the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spake openly. He spake boldly unto the people. And Peter had and John had been with Christ. They were his disciples. Now, obviously, Peter was not without failure. He failed at the crucifixion time, and he denied Christ. But he had spent those years with Christ. And after the Holy Spirit came upon them, he spake the word of God boldly. And these people, these unsaved people, recognized something in Peter and John. And they recognized that they had been with Christ. You know, if we want boldness in our lives, what will it take? Well, it's going to take a relationship. It is going to take spending time with Christ. Amen. And as we spend time with Christ, the natural outgrowth of that relationship is going to be boldness. You know, you think of the Colossians 3:16. Now, how are you going to spend time with Christ? Well, let the what? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ephesians chapter 5. And, you know, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. But let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Spending time with Christ. If you want boldness, it's not just going to come by purposing to be more bold. All right, you've got to get in the Word of God. You've got to spend time with Christ. And you have to allow Him to change the natural propensity that we have to be fearful and allow the character qualities of Christ to be manifested in our life. So first of all, we see it takes a relationship. When they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It doesn't take a college education for you to become bold. It doesn't take a diploma for you to become bold. It takes time with Christ for you to become bold. Amen. So not only does it take a relationship, but secondly, we see it takes obedience. It takes obedience. It takes a sense of our duty to God. Let's see. Notice what it says there in verse number let's begin in verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." So here Peter and John, hey, who should we obey more, you or God? You make the decision. I mean, this was a pretty bold response to what they had said. But it was a very plain response. And we find that Peter and John had a sense of their duty to God. They were concerned with obedience. And when we have that same sense of duty before God, it's going to enable us to be bold because we're not fearing what people think, but we are fearing what God thinks. We see the Apostle Paul had this same kind of sense as he presented the gospel. If we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. If you find 2 Thessalonians, it's the book right before that. 1 Thessalonians. "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, All right, so here's an opportunity for them to be fearful, to be timid. But it says, as you know, at Philippi, all right, remember they were thrown in jail, you know, but in jail they were continuing to be bold. They sang praises to God. We were bold in our God. They went to Thessalonica to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know, so Paul had that sense of duty to God. It wasn't what men thought of his message. It wasn't, you know, a seeker-sensitive message that Paul proclaimed. But his message was concerned with what God thought. And tonight, if we can get a hold of our sense of duty to God, just like Peter and John in this passage recognized that God was the one that they were accountable to, it will help us to have that boldness that we need in proclaiming the gospel message. I read an illustration about Hugh Latimer. And I believe in this illustration I was going to read from, it doesn't mention this, but another one I read, he actually was going to preach this message twice, I believe. And it seems like maybe the second time the King of England was giving him another chance to preach it without offending him. But anyways, Hugh Latimer was known as a great preacher of his day, and as a result, had many opportunities to speak. Once he found that he was to preach before King Henry VIII of England, as he thought about his great responsibility to bring a message before the king, he realized that the message that God laid in his heart was not the message that the king would want to hear. As he began his sermon, he said, "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has power to command you to be sent to prison and who can have your head cut off if it please him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" He then paused and continued, "Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before him to whom one day you will have to give account yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word." Latimer faced a choice. Would he preach what men wanted to hear, or would he preach what Christ would have him preach? Latimer did take a stand for truth and preached boldly. Eventually, he was martyred by Henry's daughter, Queen Mary. The question is tonight, do we sense the duty that we have to God? Lord, thou art God. Notice what it says later on in the chapter in verse number 24. When we sense that, that sense of duty is based upon who God is. Verse 24, as they're praying, they say, "Lord, thou art God." It also begins with a sense of it's based upon what God has done, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. All right, the disciples, Peter and John here, recognized who God was. They recognized what he has done. All right, we are giving this information that the creator of the universe has commanded us to give out. How can we say anything different? I mean, they understood who God was. They understood what God had done. You know, it's, if tonight, if the nursery was let out, all right, and, you know, one of the 2 or 3 year olds, maybe his toddler church, walked up to you and said, you know, maybe he came up to Mr. Myers and said, "Mr. Myers, you need to take me right now to Culver's and buy me a double deluxe meal and a concrete mixer," you know, and they gave him the exact orders. You know, what would Mr. Myers do? He'd probably start laughing. I mean, you can just see him. You know, here's this little 2 and 3 year old telling him what to do. Now, if somebody else came up to Mr. Myers and told him something to do, he might take it more seriously. You know, and we think of here are these men trying to tell, you know, the disciples what to do, trying to tell Peter and John what to do, but yet they had orders from the King of the universe. And many times we bow to the orders of men who are like, you know, these little puppets, less than that. And yet we have the God of the universe. We need to sense our responsibility, our duty that we have to him and not bow to the demands of the men around us. You know, one of those, you think of our sense of duty to God. What has God said? He says to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, and if we're going to truly, properly love our neighbor as ourself, we're going to what? We're going to want to give them the gospel. We're going to want to give them the message of salvation. There's an illustration that Sammy Tippett gives in his book, Fire in Your Heart. He talks about when he had first gotten saved. And he says, when I became a Christian in the mid-60s, I was challenged by an ungodly hippie stoned on psychedelic drugs. I witnessed to him, and he said, if I believed what you are telling me, I would crawl on my hands and knees and beg people to give their hearts to Jesus. I wouldn't be able to sleep until I had told somebody about Jesus. You know, really, that's true. If we really understood, if we really believed the message that we are giving out, how much more would we be willing to stand up and give that message to others? You know, it's amazing today how people, we were just talking about it last night, Mike was mentioning it in men's prayer last night. You know, people are so motivated by fear. And you know what? We need to take that in the right direction. You know, people are so motivated by physical things concerning fear today. But there is a spiritual fear. You know, in Matthew, talks about fearing him which can cast both soul and body into hell. There is a physical fear that we ought to use. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, people say, well, they're just accepted the Lord because they're trying to have a fire escape. Well, you know what? People need to be confronted with the realities of their eternal destiny. And the fact is, God wants to use that for people to see their lost condition, their sinful condition before him, and how they need to turn to Christ for deliverance, obedience. Do we sense, have that sense of duty before God? In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29, the disciple says, and Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The apostles understood that sense of duty. You know, Christ gave them the Great Commission, recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And they were overcome with their sense of duty to God. Thirdly, the third thing, not only is there a relationship, not only is there obedience, but the third thing, if we're going to be bold, is we need confidence. Notice what they said in the very next verse. So they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, they knew what had taken place, and they couldn't say anything different. This is what we heard. This is what we saw. You know, if you knew information, you know, that others didn't know, say about this COVID-19, and you saw it right with your own eyes, you know, maybe you saw somebody, I mean, it's sometimes you hear so many stories, you don't know what to believe. You know, but if you saw it with your own eyes, it would be what? You could be confident and bold in what you're saying. Sometimes you hear somebody else saying something and you say, well, that's what I heard somebody say. And so you can't always be maybe as bold. But when you know this is what took place, you can be confident. If you're trying to sell something and you don't really believe in the product you're selling, it's kind of hard to sell it, isn't it? You know, one day at the market, I think, you know, somebody asked one of my children something about the vegetables. Well, it was a particular vegetable my children didn't like. Well, it doesn't really help to sell it if they're trying to sell something they don't like. And, you know, as we give out the gospel, there needs to be confidence, and that confidence comes, the confidence, the sureness of the truth that we are presenting. We need to have that confidence, that sureness, that understanding that this is the truth. This is, in other words, it's a reality that has taken place in our lives. When that reality is true in our lives, it's so much easier to give out the message boldly. You know, tonight, is it a reality in your life? You know, that message of salvation, when it's real, when that sureness of the truth, and obviously we can be confident in God's word tonight. And the disciples said, we can't do anything but speak what we have seen and heard. They couldn't stand up there and give a message that was different from what they knew to be true. And as we revel in the fact that this is true, as we know what has taken place in our lives, when we have that inward, I mean, if you're saved tonight, you know that the gospel is true, that there's no other way of salvation. I mean, there is that inward reality in your own life that nothing else is going to do but Jesus Christ. And the disciples knew that. And they saw, I mean, they saw the resurrection. They saw the crucifixion. They knew that this message was real, and they could not but speak what they had saw. In John chapter 7, you know, we have the opposite. We're focusing on the negative, but we'll mention one here. It says, howbeit, verse 13, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. You know, that can hinder us in our confidence in the message, that fear of those around us. But we have a message that is sure. We have the truth. And that confidence can give us boldness. But we need to revel in the truth that we are proclaiming. So first of all, there's a relationship. Secondly, there's an obedience. There's that sense of our duty to God. Thirdly, there's confidence in the sureness of the truth, the fact of what we are presenting. You know, there's going to be plenty of people out there that are going to want to deny God's word. Oh, that's just what a bunch of men wrote. But we need that confidence. You know, when somebody's confident, I mean, you know it. When somebody has that confidence about something, maybe you're going to buy something. I mean, that confidence really many times is contagious. And it's much easier to accept something when you recognize that confidence in someone. The fourth thing I'd like to look at tonight is prayer. Notice what it says in verse number 23. And when they let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So they're praying. Notice what their prayer is about. Go down to verse number 28. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, what had Peter and John just done? They had exercised what? Boldness, hadn't they? But they didn't come back and say, oh yeah, look at what we did. We were bold. They came back and they prayed and they asked God for boldness. They recognized their human weakness. And tonight, that boldness isn't just going to come because of who we are. You know, maybe Peter was in his own mind thinking back to the time he had denied Christ and said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant us boldness. And tonight, we need to recognize our own human weakness. We need to recognize, so to speak, the danger in front of us. They notice what they said to the Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants boldness. You know, tonight, if we're going to have boldness, it's going to require prayer. It's going to require going to God for his power, for his strength. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord said in the, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Notice what it says in Acts 4 and verse 8. When Peter is talking to them, and then they respond in verse 13 with, as they notice the boldness. But what does it say in verse 8? It says, then Peter, filled with who? Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Now, we just heard the song sung, be thou exalted, O Spirit of what? Power, dwelling within our hearts to keep us from sin. You know, and that Spirit of power, that power of the Holy Spirit that is accessed even as we pray. Now, we find in Acts chapter 2 they were given the Holy Spirit, but what were they still doing? They were still praying for boldness. Yes, they had the Holy Spirit, but they were still praying for what? Boldness. You know, just because you have the Holy Spirit tonight, because you're saved, doesn't mean you don't need to pray for boldness anymore. All right, the disciples were still praying that God's power would fill their lives, that they might have the boldness to speak the word of God. And if we're going to have that boldness, we need to ask God for it. You think of one of the boldest Christians that has ever lived. If you were going to think in the New Testament of somebody that was bold in proclaiming the gospel, you think of somebody that went before kings, that was greatly persecuted, but yet continued to give out the gospel, who's somebody that you might say tonight? The Apostle Paul. But yet, what did the Apostle Paul request of people? In Ephesians chapter 6, and many of you probably know the verse. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin, and I'll begin in verse number 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Some of you are turning there, so I'll give you a little bit of time. So by the time you get there, I'm not done reading it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. He says, praying as we, you know, he's finishing up with the armor of the believer, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then he says, and for me. No, don't forget about me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And here we have the great Apostle Paul, who we would think of as one of the people in this world that had the greatest giving of the gospel of anybody else. And yet here he is asking the believers at Ephesus to pray for him, that he would have boldness. You know, if the Apostle Paul was praying for boldness, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer for boldness, how much more tonight do you and I? I mean, really, the fact is we're all humans, just like he was. And we need prayer for boldness. You know, boldness isn't just going to come because we want it, although that's the start. But boldness is going to come as we come before the Lord, recognizing our own human weakness, but recognizing that when we ask something good of God, he's going to give it. You know, it says there in Luke, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. And tonight, if you want boldness, we need to seek God for that boldness. We need that relationship with Christ. We need to spend time. We need to sense our duty to God, that what he has said is far greater than what any man has said. You know, recently, I don't know for sure what this church is doing, but I drove by a church and it said, come as you are. And it would be interesting to know what that church is requiring amidst this COVID thing that's happening. Because it isn't amazing how quickly people are willing to subserviate themselves to the demands of man, but yet they're not that quick to subserviate themselves to the demands of God. Right. You know, tonight we need some holy boldness, so to speak, to give out God's message and not be concerned with what men around us think, but that we will be willing to stand like Christ was, who was willing to give out his doctrine openly, so that when the chief priests, when they asked him, what is your doctrine? He said, ask the people. I spake it openly. They know what I said. They know what I believe. Ask them. You know, tonight, how many people could we say, if somebody comes up to us and asks us, what do you believe? Would we be able to say, well, ask those around me. They know what I believe. I've spoken openly. I haven't tried to conceal what I believe. But tonight, it's so easy for us just to try to conceal because we don't want to offend. Obviously, we offend somebody. We need to obviously be careful. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It doesn't mean we go out in the flesh and do something because in the flesh. No, it takes a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and what he wants us to do. And as we are walking with him, we'll do it in the proper manner, because obviously it's easy to get in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit. But as we walk in the Spirit, as we spend time with Christ. And I know in my own life, as I think back, and you know, if you read chapter Mark and or Mark chapter 9, it talks about, you know, in verses 42 through 48, it talks about the reality of hell and how, you know, nothing in this life should hinder somebody from accepting Christ. If there's anything, you know, get it out of your life. And as believers, and you can probably think back in your own life, when you've really thought about the reality of hell, it makes you more what? Bold in your witness. Because you're truly concerned for that soul that's in front of you. And tonight, may God help us to have that boldness that would be honoring and pleasing to Him, so that the message that God has given to us to proclaim can be properly given to the dear souls that come across our pathway. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray tonight that You would give us that boldness that is so desperately needed. Lord, it's so easy to be overcome by fear. And Lord, tonight we pray that we would be overcome by the fear of You. And Lord, not worry about what those around us think. But may we be concerned, Lord, more for their souls than what they might think about what we're saying. And Lord, tonight we just pray that You would work in the hearts of Your people. And Lord, I hope tonight that, Lord, I pray tonight that in some way this message would be an encouragement to us. Lord, that if it's that time that we need to be spending with You, or if it's that sense of duty before You that we need a greater sense of in our lives. Lord, that, or if it's that time in prayer that we need, Lord, to access Your strength, recognizing our own human weakness. Lord, I pray, Lord, that tonight that we would just have that sense of confidence. Lord, we have the truth, the eternal truth in our hands. And Lord, may You just give us that confidence so that we can boldly proclaim Your message. Maybe You just work in our hearts tonight, Lord, that we would go from here, Lord, with a newfound motivation, not of ourselves, but from You, to give out Your word and Your message. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.